Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, February 24th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, a tokenomics discussion with Delphi Digital and Retrograde Money. Let's take a listen.
Cool. So more and more people are joining. As said, we're just waiting for all the speakers because today is a big and amazing round of great people from the whole ecosystem that will be here. We have, for the first time, the Retrograde team here. I don't know if I've said it correctly. If I bunched the name, then sorry for that up front. But hopefully I will learn today how to pronounce it correctly. Of course, the whole Anchor team is here. We have already Nate with us. And then Jose from Delphi as a contributor also to Astroport and Mars will join here in a minute. And then hopefully we kick it off in latest 2 minutes. So I see here Mr. Pong is also requesting to speak. Let me bring him up. Very good. Maybe we do a quick mic check already. Pong, Atari, is it working for you guys?
Hey, I think it's working here.
Very good. Check. We're all in soon here.
Yep. Good on our end. And Doctor, you got the pronunciation right.
Oof, thank you. At least something. Do I get some points, right? Because, I mean, all your names are basically about gaming, which I appreciate a lot. So you have a lot of points with me already. So...
Give Donku some gaming points. He deserves more than we give him. So anything we can give him.
You know, you deserve a better mobile phone, Nate. So let's see how long you survive in here.
I'm not going to jinx it, but I think Twitter finally fixed it for the Android tech guys like me.
That's amazing. So up front for everybody, if we run into issues, it's Nate's fault, right? We know this already now.
blame the tech guy.
There we go. Very good. So we are approaching, for me, it is 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 p.m. UTC. So that's the time to start. We're adding more and more people here. So let me quickly cross-check also in the amazing file that you sent me, Nate, if everybody is here or if we still have some people. So from Anchor, Nate, let me know. Are we missing somebody? Did we already lose Nate? That would be just hilarious.
No, I'm here. No. I'm here. No, okay. Yeah, we have everybody on the Anchor side. We've got Sam, we got Zion, myself. So we're just waiting for Jose from Delphi.
And from the Retrograde team, we have Atari, we have Pong, and will we also have Tetris in here?
Yep, we'll be joining very soon.
Okay, amazing. Then we have all the big games together here, and we're just waiting a bit for Jose, but the whole spaces right now is filling up, so thank you everybody for being here. with us. I'm seeing already the first request for questions. So just letting you know how the setup is usually of this AMAs. We have the guests in here. We have, of course, the anchor team who is facilitating all of this. We will discuss a very interesting topic, I think, tokenomics. I think everybody in the community knows that this is a hot topic also for the anchor token. And I'm myself looking forward to discuss this topic and hopefully facilitate a great discussion. And then after, let's say, more or less half an hour, 40 minutes, also depends of how many topics are discussed here, then we truly open up the space for the AMA session itself. So then you can request it here. So sorry if you're right now requesting and not getting up here. We're just waiting that everybody is, first of all, discussing from the different guests we have. And then later on, we have the AMA. And I see here also the retrograde account is requesting. Let him add in as a speaker as well. And then we're just waiting for Jose. Let me ping him in Telegram. But because we have so many people already here, let's be honest, let's tackle the elephant in the room. I think everybody knows that it's difficult time, right? I think we should talk about this just quickly in the beginning here. So if you have, I don't know, friends, relatives, or if you are yourself in the Ukraine, I hope that you're safe. I myself have friends in the Ukraine. I have friends in Germany that have family in the Ukraine. The situation is completely crazy and wild. We discussed before we started this AMA how to approach this. We said that we, of course, want to send our prayers, all our support. This community is extremely strong. I know that people are already trying to think of how we could support it, how we can send stuff over there. So thank you very much for everybody. Feel free to always also approach me. You can find me on Telegram if you have ideas how we can support people in the Ukraine, be it friends or family or whoever. So please let me know. And at the same time, we decided to keep on with the AMA here and focus on tokenomics for now. So I hope that this also gives you a little bit of time to not think all the time about this crazy and wild stuff. And we have here some exciting topics, which probably sounds weird, but we won't like to talk about tokenomics of Anchor Protocol. Very good. So let's try to add here the last pieces. And while we're waiting for Jose, I don't know, Nate, if you would like to give a little bit of a background of all those topics, which also Jose knows, right? What is happening right now with Anchor in general, maybe also because there was the refill of the reserve. We haven't talked about this. Maybe this is a good starting point here to then introduce the topic of tokenomics. And then we talk also about who retrograde is, which I have a lot of interest in and proposed also this adjustment.
Yeah, I think there'll probably be some alpha, no doubt. Yeah, let's touch base on the elephant in the room, which is the yield reserve, right? The way I see this, and again, personal opinion here, is like, look at where Anchor's come from to rivaling Aave with nearly at $1.12 billion under management there, right, under TLV. And so that kind of growth is just astounding. That kind of growth, if you look at it from a business perspective, costs money, right? It's not necessarily what we would call a sustainable trajectory. It's just nearly impossible to keep up with that kind of growth, right? And that's where we saw, you know, that misalignment with deposits from collateral. And so that yield injection is a way to allow Anchor to scale with sustainability, to focus on the new models that we had already been putting in place, putting into action, which is the new V2 borrow model, right? Getting as many collateral types on as quick as possible, right? We only have two collateral types right now, and we have 20% paid on the earn side. We can't just have two collateral types to support that, right? We need to span the whole entire ecosystem if we're going to support this kind of APY on the earn side. So we need time to build that. We need time to catch up to that growth that we've had. We need ways to figure out how to monetize that. And that's exactly what we're doing with the community and these ideas to get this going. So this buys us time to do that and will get us there, right? It's a moat, if you think about it, right? What other protocol can bootstrap that kind of capital to support this kind of competitive advantage? I think that's something to think about, right? And it just puts us in line to move towards sustainability is how I see that. And that kind of fits in hand in tandem with looking at Anchor tokenomics. As we know, this isn't just specific to Anchor, right? This is specific to a lot of savings and lending protocols, a lot of liquidity protocols, decentralized exchanges were plagued with horrible tokenomics, right? I kind of laugh. I say tokenomics has become like throwing spaghetti at the wall. We need to look more at like token engineering and what we can do to actually create utility. And so this is really what we're going to focus today on.
Good point. Just before we move on, give the last alpha. When do we see Anchor Protocol on Avalanche? You had this kind of AMA, right? You left me there without a chain.
Yep. So we are moving really, really quick. So cross-chain contracts are nearly finishing audit. And so I can't give an exact date, but we're moving as quick as possible. We want to see this out in the open sometime in March. Don't hold us to that. You know, audits are hard. So it's going to be here soon, though, right? Before you know it, we're going to have that on there and lots of collateral coming in. If you look at what Bankis done with SAVX, it's amazing. I didn't actually look in the last couple of days, but they nearly amassed over $2 billion of SAVX in a period of weeks.
So, nice.
Amazing. And we're looking forward to partnerships with them. We're talking about ways where we can hopefully incentivize this further. So it'll be exciting in the next couple of weeks.
Amazing. Can't wait for that. And I've already created my SAVX and minted it. Right? So I'm waiting to make that happen. And thank you for sharing there. I tried my best with the date for everybody, right? We are close to get a date from Nate now.
We're getting close. Yeah. That's good for crypto, right?
That's very good. And now we have also Jose in here. Let's quickly make a check. Jose, can you hear us?
Yep, I can hear you.
Thank you. I guess it's a good segue also to now talk about Jose and Retrograde, right, as the two additional guests in this amazing round talking about tokenomics. If it's okay, Jose, for you, I would like to quickly focus on Retrograde. I think we had now here some issues. They just jumped out quickly, but we have Pong, Atari, and the account itself, which I think is Tetris. So I don't know if you guys quickly would like to introduce yourself, because I think everybody is waiting to learn more about you as a project, you guys, where you're coming from. And then also later on, we focus, of course, on the Anchor tokenomics proposal that you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us on. Our team's just been longtime admirers of Anchor and the foundational role it plays in Terra. So it's been amazing to see the community rally after we pushed our proposal, and an honor to be here. Context-wise, for Retrograde was really inspired by what Convex and Redacted brought to the Curve ecosystem. In fact, we think that there's an even greater need in Terra given the state of governance today. Our team sees Retrograde serving the Terra ecosystem in a couple of different ways. The first is ushering in a governance 2.0. Think of it as an era of promoting participation, good actors, and cohesion across key protocols. Second is being a partner to both Anchor and Astroport, supercharging governance utility and value accrual for both. And kind of what better way to start off with than the foundational money market for DeFi and the core liquidity layer for Terra. And then I'd say lastly, really just helping jumpstart the narrative. So making it easy for protocols to accumulate Anchor and Astro tokens ahead of potential new tokenomics models.
Nice one. So I don't know if you quickly to also add there, give some background on your team, and then also when you probably, I don't know, will truly go live as a protocol, which I understand you will become, right? And because that's the question that we always ask, right? The when? Because you started now, I guess, in a way that people probably don't see also new protocols arrive in terms of a proposal for another protocol. But of course, this is inherent for yourself because you talk about governance.
Yeah. We've been monitoring the forums very closely since we pushed the initial VAnk proposal. And a lot of people have been asking, who's the team behind Retrograde? I'll give a bit of background. And then I think Tetris on our team is having a bit of trouble joining, so he can sort of circle back later. I have a TradFi background, studied Curve and Redacted a lot, and feel that there are a lot of benefits we can overlay onto Terra. Other folks on our team, pretty much engineers from big tech, had a ton of free time similar to kind of how Doe sort of experienced things at Microsoft, and have been tinkering around on a lot of things in Terra. We felt that we got really passionate about just addressing governance in Terra.
Got it. No, good stuff. And of course, the big question is now, how do you would like to improve this, and how can in the long term also Retrograde help this? And Jose, I think this is a good segue also to introduce you, because I think you are one of the biggest experts also in terms of tokenomics. You have already proven several times with different protocols how to approach this. You are usually thinking deeply about this. So maybe you can quickly introduce yourself to everybody, right, to what you have contributed, and then give also a quick intro in the topic of VE tokenomics, right? We have heard now several times the topic of Reducted, right? So Reducted Cartel. We have heard now Curve already. Astroport has similar tokenomics. So maybe you can take this away there, talk about yourself, and then also VE tokenomics.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Jose. I'm the head of Delphi Labs and one of the founding partners at Delphi Ventures. So Delphi has sort of three main parts to it. There's a research company, which is kind of how we built our name, and then a venture fund where we manage our own money and have made over 100 investments, including obviously Terra. And then labs, which is where we incubate and build projects from the ground up, where the first two are sort of Astroport and Mars, but we're also working with teams like Sabera and then Levana and a few others across the ecosystem, like Kinetic and stuff. Labs started off before we were building is basically doing token economics and mechanism design for a living. So we designed the AXS Axie Infinity token and worked with Synthetics, Compound, Thorchain, and a bunch of others. So have spent a while thinking about these things. We really like the V token model. And I think the main reason for that is that, first of all, it does a really good job kind of aligning incentives between the users of the protocol in general, the supply siders, so the liquidity providers, or in the case of Anchor, the borrowers, or depending how this is structured. Obviously, I know some people have ideas around doing the earn portion, but generally the users of the protocol and token holders, because it makes it so that sort of the only way to maximize your benefit as a user and get the maximum sort of yield is to be a token holder. And at the same time, the only way to maximize sort of the utility of your tokens is to also be a user, so you can take advantage of that part of things. And then I think that it also does a really good job kind of distributing governance to the most long-term oriented participants, because the lock, you know, when you lock your tokens for VE tokens, the longer you lock for, the more VE tokens you get. And this does a really good job sort of making it, and it's not really, doesn't really benefit whales. It just kind of means that those who are willing to take the most long-term view on things will have the most influence and also the highest reward, which I think makes a lot of sense. And then what we've seen with Curve, and we spent a lot of time studying the Curve ecosystem when we were thinking about Astroport, is that it also incentivizes DAOs to take kind of big positions in your token and to build services around your project, which I think is also a very positive thing. And it has been positive for Curve. I think there's some downsides, like with how big Convex is on Curve. I don't think that's necessarily the best way for things to end up, like having one sort of Convex that owns over 50% of the governance power. But I think that happened for sort of idiosyncratic reasons, where there was kind of the whitelist on Ethereum. And so I don't think that needs to happen on Terra. And I think Retrograde is kind of taking the right approach here, and there are a few other teams that are kind of thinking about this too. Yeah, happy to talk more about Anchor or whatever you prefer there.
Yeah, got it. No, thank you for the introduction. Just maybe quickly, because I think we haven't mentioned yet, so the VE token, right? So vote escrowed token, so basically an enhanced version of a token, just for everybody. I think we have so many people here to give also some additional background. You mentioned it just there, right? There is right now a lot of protocols out there that have already introduced this. There are a lot of upsides. There are some downsides. Yes, we have the Convex topic and the Curve Wars in general in ETH. It's interesting to see where Astroport is taking this now. And Nate, I would be just interested, because we both, right, both of us, we have talked a lot in the last weeks. We have talked about the Anchor tokenomics. So my big question is now, did you kind of thought about this and then Retrograde was coming around the corner, or how does this now all get started, right? Because I would be surprised if you have not been involved in any kind of way as a team, also into this proposal, or can you share something about this and touch upon also the proposal?
Yeah. I mean, I think no one's going to believe me, but this all happened like serendipitously, right? There was just amazing synchrony. We actually, and we weren't even talking to Jose either. We all three teams had already like been talking about what BE Tokenomics would look like, would the community be behind it, right? We wanted to get some ideas out there, some feelers out there to see if the community would support it. Jose reached out to us. We're like, yeah, we're looking at that too. Let's kind of try to set a standard for the Terra ecosystem through, you know, getting community ideas about this. And then he told us about Retrograde, and Retrograde was already working in progress as well. So this all just happened like really in the last, what, 2 weeks, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. We've just been moving really fast. And what's interesting is, like you've said, Donku, we've talked a lot about tokenomics in the past, and we just, as a community, we were never able really to come to some unified idea. A lot of it relied on like using the earn side to try to increase utility. It just makes a sloppy earn side experience to do that. It makes it hard for third party integration. So there's that push and pull there. But if we look at it from an anchor side, from the V2 model, this starts to make a lot of sense, because if you start onboarding a lot more collateral types, and then we can take that another level and we can think about the unfortunate side effect of liquid staking derivatives is there's not a unified standard, right? If we look over on Solana, there's already 4 different liquid staking derivatives. And so what's naturally going to happen is they're going to compete to meet key performance indicators, right? And those key performance indicators are really pretty simple. It's like, how much of the native token are you locking up into this liquid staking derivative? And if you look over to Polygon, there's even revenue sharing agreements between Lido and Shard Labs about how much you can lock up of the underlying token, which then unlocks tokens. So there's going to be a lot of demand to create utility behind these liquid staking derivatives as a way to create more adoption of them. Anchor is in a really key position to offer additional staking utility, right? If you can now take that liquid staking derivative, borrow against it for a near zero or sometimes negative interest rate to actually pay you to borrow against that, you can now deploy that into yield bearing strategies on top of that. So it's super collateral efficient. So you're going to have a lot of liquid staking derivatives wanting to bid for maximum anchor emissions to give the best utility to their liquid staking derivative to meet their goals of locking up underlying tokens. And so this is where I see it fitting in really well to the new BE model. And I know Retrograde, they've got a lot of thoughts. They've done a lot of deeper research than I've even done. So I kind of spin that over to them and see what they might want to add.
Yeah, that would have been my question in terms of maybe somebody of the team of Retrograde can give a little bit of a background of what are now the key points of this proposal, right? To maybe guide us through high level, so that everybody understands what this is. Of course, if somebody is in parallel, I don't know, probably everybody's on his phone, right? But in front of a laptop or so forth, you could also go into the Anchor Protocol forum and pick it up there. Maybe you can read quickly through it, but maybe somebody of the team could guide us high level through the main points so that everybody is on the same level.
Yeah, absolutely. And we echo everything that Nate just mentioned. The V token model isn't perfect, but it's one of the few battle-tested token models in DeFi. And the best part about the V model, what went into a big part of why we crafted it in that way, is that it isn't very intrusive to the existing anchor tokenomics. You can almost view it more as icing on the cake. The only additional optionality now that the ANC token holder has beyond what they currently have today is that you can lock it for a longer period of time and greater align yourself with the protocol. Maybe as commentary for the proposal, we pretty much looked at it in two ways. How can we better align incentives for all users and stakeholders with Anchor Protocol long-term? And you can almost split it up into two buckets. The first is economic incentives in the form of, if you lock it up for longer, you get greater access to protocol earnings going forward. And second, the governance incentive, which is over time, as Nathan mentioned, as Anchor grows in TVL, as Anchor expands to other ecosystems and adopts other collateral types, it will become more and more important and critical to both the Terra ecosystem as well as just DeFi broadly. You know, if Anchor had any issues, there would be a massive cascading effect. So naturally, the governance utility is almost spring-loaded to really become more and more instrumental over time. So how can we really highlight that sort of governance utility? And we think gauges are a very good first step towards making that gradual transition, mostly because there's going to be a lot of demand across liquid staking protocols. And the one example is if you look on, say, Solana today, there's four main staking derivatives, Lido, several others. And the types of business models that staking derivatives have is just very commoditized. So they're viciously competing for network effects to all kick in. And they all want more utility for their specific staking derivative. And Anchor is quite possibly the single most compelling use case for those derivatives in DeFi. So that's maybe one way to look at it, is bucket it into two types of incentives and how best to align them with the protocol long term.
Got it. Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, eloquently said, like, that's exactly right. Those two buckets, right? And I think the gauges is probably where we can touch upon next, just because I think we're talking about gauges and people might be like, what the hell is a gauge, right? I think, Jose, maybe you could talk about this as well, because this comes from like an LP model, right? It's how you allocate emissions towards a certain pool, right, or a certain collateral type. You want to take that on, Jose?
Yeah, for sure. So a gauge, I probably should have prepared a bit better, but yeah, a gauge is basically associated in the curve model. It's associated to each liquidity pool, and it's how you allocate rewards to that liquidity pool. So, for example, the three pool or the UST pool, all the different pools have gauges. Users can stake their LP tokens to that gauge, and then that allows them to qualify for rewards. And then they can apply boosties by sort of attaching their VE CRV to that gauge as well. So it's kind of a complicated system, but the simple idea is that any pool that has a gauge is eligible to receive rewards and is eligible to be voted on to receive rewards. So in the case of Astroport, every single pool will have a gauge and users will be able to vote for any pool to receive rewards. In the case of something like Anchor, it would be the different collateral types, I guess, would be the gauges, and users would be able to vote for which collateral type should receive the most rewards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. And so let's think about the importance of this too, right? The gauges that typically are going to get the most votes are typically the collateral types or the pools that are making the protocol the most money, right? And so this is very important to think about. And this is a very strong point of the VE model, is like, you want to incentivize the collateral types or the pools that are making the protocol the most money, right? Because this is part of governance, is to maximize, they're the shareholders, they're the stakers, they're getting the final profits of the protocol. We want to maximize the revenue of the entire protocol. And so this is a very efficient way of letting the market dictate, what is going to be that most efficient, most revenue generating gauge out there.
Which I think is so beautiful and interesting about this concept is that, and I think Atari said it in a very nice way, it's breaking down the topic of governance into the governance incentives themselves, right? And into an economic incentive with the gauges, right? Because the gauges themselves, you're interested, right? Probably because if you bring collateral, you want, of course, to get the incentives aligned with the collateral that you are bringing there, right? So it's basically breaking it a little bit more down. But Jose, what I would like to ask you here, because I think that has been always like, I don't know, a meme in the community, right? Is governance even valued in some kind of way, right? Because the Anchor token also had the governance rights, but now it's changing a bit more into this economic way. How do you in general see the importance of governance, right? And how this is now enhanced with this VE model, right? I think this is taking a step forward. How do you see that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the advantages of the VE model is it creates real value around governance, because it allows you to determine how the protocol issuance is distributed, which is basically like which sort of supply siders should receive most of the issuance and who should be diluted and who shouldn't, which is like obviously very valuable. And in the case of something like Anchor, which is obviously a super valuable protocol, you're deciding on millions or hundreds of millions of dollars worth of emissions, right? And so there's actually a cost that can be calculated per vote. And like that's kind of the cost that people are paying to bribe. So it allows you to create a lot more value around the governance token. And that's not to mention sort of the boosties and stuff. So I think that is one of the advantages of the VE model.
Bribing is another topic which we I think maybe can talk about in a second. So let me maybe try to how I understand now also this whole proposal, and then maybe Nate or the guys of Retrograde can say this is right or wrong. So right now, me as a user, I'm a degen, everybody knows that. I bring my B asset, I can bond it with Anchor, right? And I can borrow UST against it. And because I'm borrowing right now, I'm also paid out in Anchor tokens, and there is the interest on the UST. What will happen now once this proposal, if it goes through and it would go live, is that if I stake my Anchor, I can now decide to also basically vest them or bond them with the Anchor protocol. I get then VE Anchor, and then I can vote on those rewards right now that are paid on a pro rata manner, right, to BETH and BLUNA are just adjusted, right? So that, for example, if in the future we have SAVEX, maybe more goes to SAVEX because the people have an interest that more is paid out. Is that high level how this will work, or would you guys like to add something?
Yeah. Oh, Nate, go ahead.
Straightforward.
I was gonna spin it over to you. No worries. I'll chime in, and if Retrograde wants to chime in too, no doubt. Yeah, exactly. And so these gauges can essentially just dictate what percent of emission rewards can go to that collateral type. On a very high level, you could just think of it as a ratio, right? You've got total amount of votes, and then you've got the sum of each vote to each collateral type, and you could look at that as a ratio that then multiplies out what percent of rewards go to each gauge. Is a very simple way of looking at it that could be a future model of this.
Yeah, and I'll caveat two things. The first is it doesn't necessarily need to change Anchor emissions going forward. It's pretty much just readjusting the pie and how it's distributed. The second is on the governance component. Historically, the main stakeholders tended to really be retail. With the gauge model, you're almost developing camps for each collateral type and starts getting protocols and DAOs to become far more tied and having much more skin in the game for Anchor. That's sort of where we see Retrograde really fitting in, is one, really helping to bridge and strengthen that sort of relationship between other DAOs and how much they care about the future of Anchor going forward, making that economic tie with the DAOs much more clear. And then the second piece is how each stakeholder and each Anchor token holder thinks through actually expanding their power and governance. Previously, if you look at traditional equities and like a Tesla stock, for example, all voting power and economic incentive is all just tied together. One of the best innovations of the token model is now we're able to actually split the governance from the economic and sort of equity upside, which creates almost a brand new universe of opportunities. And that's kind of where bribing will really come in and help make that market a lot more efficient.
You just mentioned it, bribing, right? So let me put it like this. So in the end, you are enabling your own protocol. Is that fair to say? I'll, of course, take it in a positive way, right? So maybe you can quickly touch upon what happens on Ethereum right now. And I think we're seeing this more and more also on Phantom, the topic of bribing and how important DAOs or certain protocols that enable this are now becoming to also drive all this liquidity or decision.
Yeah, the short of it of how we view bribing and how it's played out on other ecosystems is bribing at its core expands how protocols and stakeholders can get involved with Anchor, so that you don't actually need to hold, buy, and keep the Anchor token, and take on that whatever price speculation and notional risk there. Instead, you can pretty much just bribe users and indirectly influence Anchor in a multitude of different ways. So if you think of the universe of Anchor stakeholders as ANC token holders, bribing multiplies that by magnitude, because now people who don't hold the Anchor token can start getting involved and start having skin in the game, and start being invested in the future of Anchor going forward.
Got it. And then just to be sure on my side, so what will be your role in there? So you will enable the bribing itself, so we know platforms on Ethereum, or you're acting yourself in that environment?
Yeah, we will release plenty more detail on the exact mechanisms pretty much shortly after this AMA. So obviously stay tuned for that alpha leak. In terms of bribing, yeah, that is going to be a core part of the Retrograde product roadmap going forward, is building the full bribes layer and bribes marketplace for Anchor and Ashport.
Got it. So bribes Jose, are, maybe go ahead. Yeah, exactly.
No, go ahead. Yeah, what was your question?
Yeah, in terms of how you see right now the whole Terra ecosystem evolving, right? Astroport will have VX Astro on the long term. So now we have this proposal for VE Anc. We see right now how Apollo DAO is already buying up a lot of Astro, right, to be ready to maybe become a mini convex on Terra. So I don't know if you can also share your thoughts about how this will change probably the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I have a kind of big thread, and we have a report that we're working on this about VE models and bribing generally. But like, bribing is a really bad name. It's like kind of classic crypto. We're quite, I guess, like brutally honest about things. Like in the real world, it's lobbying, which sounds a lot nicer. Like, you know, buying votes. But I think the problem with a lot of people see with bribing is it breaks like that long-term incentive, which is the whole point of the VE model, right? If people are just taking bribes for their votes, then doesn't it, and you have the people paying for the votes who don't actually have to own any tokens, doesn't it break the whole VE model? And I think the answer to that is no, because the people who are taking the bribes have to own the token, right? So they can make short-term decisions and try and just maximize their short-term profit, but if they do that, they have to live with the long-term consequences of those decisions. There is like a bit of a kind of like negative externality, right? Because if you are sort of a long-term oriented participant and you don't take a bribe, you're making less money than the people who do take a bribe, but you're sharing the downside, right? So that's a concern with the bribing system. But I think in general, the cool thing about the VE model is that it does punish like short-term thinking. So even if you're taking bribes, if you're voting in ways that aren't best for the protocol, you kind of get punished in the long term. And then I think the second argument people have, kind of that they don't like the bribe system, is just the liquid staking derivative, right? Which basically it sort of breaks the lock, right? Because you can, like, for instance, once Retrograde launches, assuming it's built similar to Convex, I don't have any additional info here. You'll be able to lock your ANC or your Astro, and then you'll get like retro ANC or retro Astro, right? And in the background, Retrograde will like max lock your ANC or max lock your Astro and use that voting power to like boost its own pools, and then also potentially sell it for bribes or do whatever with it, or like have pass through exposure to retro holders being able to vote with it. And like, what that means is the people who have liquid staking derivatives now suddenly they're not locked, right? They can sell whenever they want, but the key is that those people can't vote, right? The people who can vote is actually like Retrograde the DAO or Convex the DAO, and so there's still someone who's carrying that price risk, right? And that's the entity which is locked is the one that's incentivized to act in the long term benefit of the protocol. So I guess like my overall view on bribing is that it's not really a bug. It's more of a feature if it's built right, because it creates like a market for governance power, right? And markets tend to make things more efficient. They tend to price them more efficiently. So especially on the issuance part, I think, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, even though the name sounds really scary.
I love the point that you said that in the end, the markets are making stuff more efficient and this is a market for governance power. Amazing. Haven't thought about this. I'll use that one if it's okay for you from now on, Jose.
Explain how
bribery works. That's a good one. Anything else, gentlemen, that we should talk about, like other cases from other chains that are similar that you maybe also used as a learning case here before we go into the actual AMA and bring some people up here? I don't know, Nate or the guys from Retrograde, if you have another topic.
Yeah, I think we could briefly touch base on some of the different models. There was some talk about platypus model versus like the curve model, the idea of like accrual starts at the beginning and it grows over time, as opposed to just locking up for a long duration of time. And I know the guys over at Retrograde have some thoughts on that, so I'll probably just spin that over to them and let them explain why they think the model that they're laying out is better, which I tend to agree with.
Yeah, we actually posted a bit of a deeper analysis and a deep dive on the platypus V model. There are a couple of different pros and cons, and we'll pretty much pass this off to the community in terms of which they think is best fit for Anchor. So we'll take more of a neutral stance for now, and then as we continue to uncover and as the community dives deeper, we can start to really decide on something that makes the most sense. I'd say the main sort of highlights, like TLDR, the platypus model is, instead of locking up the P2P token, their governance token, for the max time period, you actually can just stake it and you'll start to accrue the V P2P points almost over time. So what that really means is it rewards early adopters and long-term stakers and offers much more governance protection for retail investors, protocols, and DAOs, in the sense that I can't just borrow a huge chunk of ANC tokens, lock it up for a short period of time, make one vote, and then move on. You actually need to truly lock it in for and stake it for a long period of time, because it actually builds, versus having all of that from day one and having it depreciate like the curve model. So I'd say it's far more of a populist approach. The biggest issues with the platypus model tend to be that it does disincentivize later entrants because of the accumulation period. So folks who lock up the token early on end up getting the lion's share of governance, and then wallets actually lose all governance power if they unstake. So imagine if you had 10 P2P tokens. If you started staking it, you'd start accruing VP2P over a period of time. But if you unstake it, you lose it all.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of explaining it. And so my main concern on this model, and I'm not saying what's better either, I'm taking a neutral stance here as well, is you could stagnate. There's a possible potential for stagnation, right? If you've got a lot of early adopters that hold really tight to a groupthink view of the way things were a year ago, and this can happen in crypto, things change so fast, and you've got a bunch of new users that recognize a new market need, a new market demand that the model has to change to, there could be disproportionate incentives for what actually needs to happen. And so this could disincentivize the change that's needed to happen from happening. So it's one thing I see there. But there's also, on the flip side, like, we tend to forget basic business principles in crypto sometimes. The idea of locking tokens for 4 years hasn't been talked about a lot, but there is a thing in finance called net present value, right? You have to take a discount rate. So if you're locking something up for 4 years, let's take the anchor rate, which is 20%. You have to assign that to a net present value over time. That essentially equates to, I think, around a 50% net present value discount for your tokens. So you essentially cut your value of tokens in half when you lock them up for 4 years. That's an eternity in the crypto space. So now you might be incentivized to do something that's short-term gain to pay you back for that discount that you got in the token. So there's essentially a moral hazard that can be created as well from this long-term staking lockup, especially if you continually lock them. You eventually get your net present value to zero. So now you just have a coupon payment over time, which is the staking return. So I think we have to be careful here too and actually really explore and look at this, question it, maybe not completely copy the model where we just say, oh, it worked for 4 years over there. Let's think about economic consequences. Let's think about populace. Let's think about all the pros and cons and try to pick the best model. So definitely want more community involvement on this, people challenging it, thinking more like this.
Got it. And I think that's a good point to just send everybody also to the Anchor Forum, right, Nate? We usually have this meme between us.
Absolutely.
Where to go.
I mean, that should be like my... I should just have the link on my Twitter background, right?
Yeah, come on. So I would say we just open up right now the AMA. So if somebody has a question here, either to the Anchor team, to Retrograde or Jose about this topic of VTokenomics, just request to speak. And while we're just waiting for a second here, I don't know if one of you guys would like to reflect now that we talked about this locking and also about that it goes away. So I see also Prism has now a similar model, which they called AMP, right? You can plunge your, is it right word? I hope so. Your X Prism, and the moment you just unstake any kind of X Prism, you're losing those AMPs. So don't know if you guys would like to quickly reflect on this while we're waiting here for more speakers with questions from you guys, take it away or not. We're just waiting here for people to come in anyway.
Yeah, I think just turn it over to questions would be great. Doesn't look like we've had anyone up on stage yet.
I think
Prism's model is more similar to Platypus, where you as you stake for longer, it acts as kind of an amplification factor on your yield, versus the V model where you kind of like pre-commit up front. And I'm kind of on board with Retro here in terms of preferring the V model, just because if I come in and I'm a long-term participant, I can just prove it, right? I can just lock for 4 years and I can prove it, rather than actually having to wait for X amount of time until I'm considered a long-term participant. It just feels a bit more inefficient. And it does create that like grandfathering in of people that have been in for a while. Although Prism's done a really good job with their formula in terms of making it not too heavy for newcomers. So yeah, there's different ways to parameterize things.
Gotcha. I think in the end, it's probably everybody tries to find the best way and probably will see adjustments and changes in all those different protocols. So we have now different people up here. So let's say we start now with DGH Judd. I hope I didn't butcher completely your name. And then we go with Matt Hepler as next.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. My name, actually, I just type on the keyboard. My question is around tokenomics. My name is...
Great one, go ahead.
My name, my question is around tokenomics, but it's not specifically VE tokenomics. It's, would the Anchor protocol team think about, lending out the Anchor token itself, let's say on Mars, to earn extra yield? Because it's kind of a riskless way of getting more yield without having to worry about anything else, assuming people want to borrow it.
Define what tokens we would loan
like
out,
the Anchor,
right?
The Anchor token itself.
Right, but we don't have any like protocol-owned liquidity in that sense, right?
So if the reserve is buying some back, then there's some it could.
You mean taking the yield reserve, buying back?
Well, because the reserve does do that anyway, right?
Yeah, so redirecting some.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the way the yield, so it's a 10% redirection, right? So 10% of profit is bought with Anchor tokens and given to stakers. So if you were to take that and redirect it to Mars, then you'd be taking that away from the stakers.
Well, so even if there's even a one-time increase buy, you'd only need to do that once. And then
So the idea would be protocol-owned liquidity. And
lend it out for more yield.
I mean, that's certainly a possibility. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of protocol and liquidity because it's hard to actually metric, and crypto has such a high beta. So you're taking straight on, like if you look at the markets today, you're talking 5 to 10 times drop per equities. And so you're internalizing that
risk factor into the protocol, and we've seen it blow up with time, right? It was for different reasons, but at the same time, they had a ton of beta, and it blew up on a market downturn. So I think you got to figure that in as well.
There's also one last thing was that if people are actually leveraging the Anchor token itself and they get liquidated, there's also an idea that Anchor itself may be partnering with Kajira, or I know White Whale also is looking to getting liquidations, is that if they can get the liquidations, they can also get more of the Anchor token itself. If they're getting liquidated, it doesn't necessarily need to be sold right away. It could just be held.
What would be held?
No, so if like the loop of the liquidations, a piece of it, I mean, obviously would need to be sold, but since there is a gap between you're buying whatever the token is at 7% discount or whatever it is because people got liquidated. So you buy it at 7% discount, you sell enough to cover the cost of buying it, and you keep that 7% profit in the Anchor token, which can benefit Anchor token holders.
The protocol doesn't actually keep the 7% discount from that.
No, I understand, but I'm saying, but if you're the ones liquidating.
So yeah. You're saying that, so having people bidding on liquidation queues get that 7% discount in Anchor
or
tokens.
Or Anchor, yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting thing to think about, no doubt. Throw it out there on the forum. Let's see what people think about it.
All right, that was my last.
Yeah, thanks for making me think.
A great one. And as you said, Nate, right, there's the forum. So why not writing it down and putting it out there so that people can talk about it, which I think is a great thing. Cool. We have next one, Matt, up here. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm a team member of Arca, and we're investors in Anchor and the Luna ecosystem, and we're power users, and so we thought it'd be good just to provide a, you know, investor-based perspective. We actually submitted a proposal yesterday that really focused on the deposit side to try to align more utility, improve sustainability, and create more value for the ANC token itself. You know, personally, my background is I've been in governance on the TradFi side for the last 15 years, and have served on public company boards. And you know, our thoughts are, you know, on the governance side, you know, we think that you should, you know, your vote shouldn't be dependent on how long you own something. It should be dependent on how much you own of something. If I buy a share of Apple, I don't get, you know, 0.25 shares of or 0.25 votes, and have to wait 4 years. For that token to be recognized as a vote. And we think, you know, if you're worried about protecting against, you know, proposals or lending to take some position that can be incorporated in some other form of governance, ultimately when investors take large positions and are proposing something, it's to create value. You know, they have economic exposure. If it's something that's going to be net, you know, net negative for net present value, it's not worth submitting, or it's not worth trying to submit. So, you know, we have our proposal on the forum. We thought it was pretty simplistic. We thought it was good for the ANC price. We think this addresses a lot of the concentration of rewards that are given to the large ANC depositors. And we think it also provides a lot of benefit on the lending side, because the net borrow rate actually declines with a higher ANC price. So although we haven't had, you know, a lot of time to like socialize our proposal, we're happy to take any feedback and want to just provide those thoughts around governance.
No, I appreciate it. Maybe you could just, since you hopped up here, it'd probably be great just because you iterated on it. Just give us a quick breakdown for the community of the proposal that you threw up there, like just the main key points there.
Yeah, the key points were we were trying to find a very simplistic way to improve utility while keeping rewards high on the deposit side. So really, you know, the key part of the proposal is, you know, we started with a number at $100,000, where if you're a depositor and you have $100,000 of deposits in UST, you would need to own 10% of that in Anchor tokens to receive the full 20% rewards. And if you could choose not to, but that 20% would drop to 10%. And the whole concept is, you know, to have some skin in the game to earn those high rewards. You can architect this in many ways. You could make it just a straight percentage across the board. We wanted to, ensure adoption continues to improve. That's why we set kind of the $100,000 threshold, because we're really focusing on the larger, depositors that didn't really have a lot of skin in the game that are still earning a lot of rewards and creating this like need for consistent capital infusions. So that was really the, that's really like the premise of the proposal. And I think, you know, some of these concepts can be like integrated with a lot of the work that, you know, you guys have done. But I think this really moves the needle and creates a lot of demand and aligns, you know, depositors with ANC holders.
I think there's some implementation problems. Sorry, Nate, did you want to say something?
100%. You're probably going to say the same thing I was, so go ahead.
Yeah, there's some implementation problems with it. Like, first of all, it'd be really expensive to do, because the contract would have to constantly know what the anchor price is in order to know what rate to pay out to users, and I have to query that like pretty much, I mean, whatever time period you want to do the recalculation at, which is pretty tough to do, especially on a cross chain basis. So like if people were holding AUST on Ethereum or on Solana, whatever, it would make it really difficult. And the second thing is it breaks the composability of, well, it breaks the fungibility of AUST, right? Because you wouldn't have all AUST earning the same yield. So I guess the yield, the extra yield would have the base yield, whatever that was, like 15%, would I guess go to AUST, and the rest would have to like be sent to your address where you're holding your anchor or something like that, which just seems a little bit messy. So yeah, I think there are some implementation problems.
Yeah, that would be hard. It'd be really hard. You'd have to restructure the whole AUST model if you were still going to do it with fungibility. And we still haven't, we've had a lot of smart devs in the room, and we still haven't really figured out how you would actually do that. The easiest way to implement it is with a separate contract, right? And so you've got a base rate of 10%, and then you've got a contract that tracks time for a different AUST deposit. So yes, it breaks fungibility on part of it. B, bots will circumvent this. So I'm not saying this idea doesn't make sense. The reason it just hasn't been implemented is because it's really messy, and there hasn't been a great way to actually get this out on the dev side.
Yeah. I'll chime in here. I think two of the things you mentioned were, first, having emphasis on the amount of tokens held, I think does put us back a couple of steps, because the whole purpose of this is help get governance power and influence away from your typical largest holders of a governance token. And then I think referencing like an Apple stock example and how that governance model has worked over the last couple of decades is definitely not fully utilizing the opportunity we get from tokens and stripping them apart.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is we obviously have socialized this with other larger investors, and I think there's a recognition that this like reward system is not sustainable, at 20%. With continued, capital injections. And I think, we do have a view that this can be, we have a view that this can be implemented, in some like shape or form that would be much more impactful, to the anchor price, and really believe like representation should be based on, ownership, versus having to lock something for 4 years to get representative ownership. So
yeah, I think the 4 years, I think we could probably have common ground there. I agree with you on the 4 years. We need to look at that from net present value, just as you said, just as I said. But the VE model doesn't rule out having a certain percent of VE tokens to do the model you laid out. It just has the, obviously the implications, and I'm not against it either. You could create an AUST, and you could create a VE AUST that takes 10 or 5% if you have X percent of VE ANC locked up. There's ways to do it. I think we can explore it. This VE token model does not rule out that happening.
Cool. And I, Matt, you said anyway, I'm right now also on it, on the proposal. I think it's a great chance for everybody to go through it, right? You put a lot of work in there. I'm right now in it, so it's a good read. So it's great that you put work in there. And I think hopefully everybody who's now interested goes on the forum and discuss this thing. Great stuff.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Matt. Really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Cool. Then also taking a look at the time, we have three more speakers up here. Sefi, hey, good to see you here. Would you like to go next?
Hey, my reception's terrible. So can you let me know if you can hear me okay?
We can, yeah, hear, we can you. Hear you. The question is, can you hear us?
Hopefully we're okay. I'm going to make it really quick. So between Bitnate and Jose's points, maybe a system where there's like the ability to lock 1, 2, 3, or 4 years, maybe sort of like how Astroport has like, you know, different durations of lockups. Maybe that would be a balance point between having to hold like 4 years versus some shorter period of time, and maybe have an amplification of governance based on what you commit to up front.
Anybody wants to pick that one up?
I can touch upon that quickly. In the VYANC proposal, we extended it upwards from 1 to 4 years, but the time period is very much up to discussion. And we think the community can very much form fit it around exactly what works best for Anchor, one where the full community signs off on. So it's something that can be very flexible, and we'll absolutely have more discussions around that.
But you see what I mean, though? Like the option to like stake, for lack of a better word, sort of like a different time periods to get different levels of governance, as opposed to having to pick one time frame that's quote unquote perfect.
Oh yeah,
that's all I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly what we will mean. We're in full agreement. There will be a spectrum of different time periods, and we'll have several.
Yeah, 100%. I think it needs to be that way, and I think we actually need to look at the math, as some other protocols probably haven't, and like let's actually look at a net present value of what makes the most sense. I'd like to put that out there.
Nice one. Great. Thank you, Sefi. Let's go next with Robbie and then with David.
Hi, man. Actually, I'm in position on exchange on ANC token, 10x leverage. And how many? I have a decent amount, but I want to sell them on spot and close position. Now is on 298. How many tokens?
Okay. He disappeared accidentally. Let's go ahead with David.
Hey guys, how you doing? I just wanted to quickly ask, I know you guys probably already have obviously B Sol and S AVAX in the works already, probably getting close to launch. I know there wants to be as well B Dot and B Atom. So just wondering what the timelines are looking like on those.
Yeah, so part of it has to do with Wormhole. Wormhole timelines, sadly, they haven't quite hit the targets there. We were hoping that there would be Wormhole Dot and sooner. Right now, that's up to external teams too. Like Moonbeam, Moonriver is working with Lido to create ST Dot, and believe, and you got Akala that's working to create a liquid DOT as well. There'll probably be others that pop up. So it's really a matter of A, when are those ready? When do those have liquidity under them? And B, when does Wormhole launch DOT support? So I think a matter of order, like ETH is really easy, that should be happening soon. AVAX is really easy, that should be happening soon. And then others on the list would be like Polygon, DOT, and continuing to move down the list of Wormhole compatibility, Phantom.
Yeah, I mean, definitely you want to stay with the ones that have staking rewards up from 8% or more. Obviously, it would just be better for the sustainability of Anchor. So definitely BATOM is probably going to be a really big one for you guys. And yeah, AVAX as well.
Yep, exactly. BATOM's about to hit testnet soon, so that'll be exciting.
Woo! Good news, and Sefi will be super happy about that. He is always talking and tweeting about BATOM that he can't wait anymore after he just put his question. Yeah, I was surprised that he was
been a while.
That one. good one. So we hit the hour. Thank you, David, also for your last question. Sorry, there are more people, of course, requesting to ask to speak here, but of course, all our guests have also their tight agenda, so we would close it here. So Nate, maybe you would like to also close it from the Anchor side, and if the other, of course, guest would like to add something, Jose or Retrograde, go ahead and take it from here.
Yeah, this is awesome. This was one of the best ones we've done in a while. It was fun. It was exciting. On another note, Anchor's having a community-sponsored audit with Code Arena right now. So check that out. It means if you're an auditor, if you want to find some bugs, you can get rewarded to do that. So please go check that out. Outside of that, think that we're going to keep moving full steam on this. Get out to the forum, add your thoughts. There's a lot of things to talk about. And let's get some new tokenomics measures passed within the next month or so.
Yeah, I'll chime in. It's been an honor to be part of this whole process and to really see the community rally around the proposal. We'll be releasing a Discord channel for folks to really kind of dive in, better understand what Retrograde has in store and how we plan to best fit and work together with some of the best protocols in the ecosystem. So watch out for those announcements.
Nice one. Jose, anything closing from your side?
No, really, really enjoyed the discussion. I also think there are some great points on the forum that we didn't get to discuss about sort of the applicability of a VE model that's normally used for exchanges, right? That's been proven out with Curve to a lending platform, where this would be a first. And there are some like key differences which I think are worth discussing. But maybe we can do that on another call, and I'll definitely be chiming in on the forum as well.
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot more to talk about. We could probably do another one of these in a week or two. So let's look at doing that.
Very good. And you guys know that you're also invited. Maybe we take it to YouTube in the future as well and show also some charts, which maybe sometimes help on top to visualize it a bit. It's not a quick plug on my side. No, it's not. So also a great time. I had also a great time. Thank you. We hit, I think, in the peak over 500 people listening to this show. This shows also how important Anchor, of course, is to everybody, how people are interested into this. I had an amazing time. Retrograde, great to have you here. Jose, always a pleasure to listen to you. And Anchor, thank you for letting me hosting this one. So I would say, do we have a date already for the next one, Nate? Maybe you can quickly share if we have something. If not, that would be...
We don't. Well, let's try to throw something out there in 2 weeks. Let's let the ideas pollinate, and then maybe something around this time in 2 weeks, we can do a follow-up. We'll try to dive even deeper on this one, make it a bit more technical.
Very good. Okay. Then I would say, everybody, stay safe out there, difficult times. But we had now a good hour together, and then speak to you soon again. Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a tokenomics discussion with Delphi Digital and Retrograde Money, recorded on Thursday, February 24th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of the Ether was also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Waking up like a basement dweller, stepped out the door and heard racists yelling. 2020, what an ugly shit show. Staring at the fucking Rickroll from the get-go. Looking outside, the whole state's on fire. The fuck do you expect when you embrace the liars and replace the writers with AI just like us? Emaciated models killing bright birds. First in, last out, picture me rolling. The worst time to cash out, so what you holding? The Merc's gonna cash cow, country stolen. Drooling over chicken like the goose is golden. Trying to be soulful, spitting that molten lava from the bottom of the caldera. I'm hot and gonna put it in a bottle and offer it to the god who hit the gas full throttle, blasting off in a rocket.
The many people who will see things happen to them that are in their favor. So someone's looking over me. That's a fascinating phenomenon when that happens. And when you analyze those situations, what you find is that we as humans simply have a profound inability to understand statistics and probability.
Stitching these writings, living that life like, who would have guessed you turn out this nice, right? Avoiding stress, that's the motherfucking secret. Print that shit on a motherfucking leaflet. I'm just an asshole hooked on the bricks. Looking at the rectangles, damn, they kinda thick. We've gone through a whole lot of kings here. Cutting off heads just to bring cheer. Getting all fired up, Tiger King, line them up. When you'd give an arm and a leg just to try the junk on some first time buyer's luck. Alexa, set a reminder and remind me to buy a bunch. And put your hands up if you fuck this year. And keep them in the air if you're picking up the spare. And put your mask on just to go outside. Looking at the planet about to downsize.
So climate change will not make Earth I live in New York City, where in our harbor we have the Statue of Liberty. If you melt the water ice that's on land, the ocean level will rise to reach her left elbow. That takes out all of New York City. And basically every other coastal city that we've spent thousands of years building since the dawn of civilization.
Terra Spaces.